This podcast of the Dead Set Legends is proudly brought to you by Dreams of Soccer Glory. Help a future soccer star's dreams come true. Shop at IGA and nominate today at iga.com.au.
G'day, it's Barry here. Thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Angela Sun and Glenn Mitchell.
Well, the Socceroos and the Brazil World Cup is on everyone's minds. We chatted to Chris Corner, our main man in Rio, to get a taste of the atmosphere after our game against Chile.
Western Force's Nathan Charles has overcome more than most to get to the top of his game. A great story, and we spoke to him ahead of his Wallabies debut against France.
And it's State of Origin 2 this week, and we caught up with Blues great Brad Freddy Fiddler. Yeah, we're talking World Cup. I said, Ange sits next to me at Channel 7. I said, hey, Ange, the opening ceremony's been on for the World Cup. Who's this Pitbull bloke? Pitbull. And what's he wearing?
What was he wearing?
How do you not know who Pitbull is?
Oh, let's test, Mitch.
Pitbull. No idea, yeah, but exactly. I did see Jennifer Lopez and I saw what she was wearing and that was enough for me.
He didn't care who Pitbull was.
He never noticed Pitbull, mate.
But seriously, Barra, you work on a FM radio station. How do you not know who Pitbull is?
Worldwide.
No, English, Spanish, worldwide. That's all he says in every song.
Oh, anyway, get some better pants, Pitbull. That's all I'm saying. And what about this, guys? Poor old Tony Abbott, the PM, he's having a bad run.
Do you feel sorry for him?
Well, he's in Canada and he's
Canadia. He's in Canada, as he puts it.
He said Canadia.
Love that.
And now he's tried, he's obviously not a Socceroos fan, the great man, because he's tried to send a message of support to the Socceroos. To Mile Jedinek, the captain, and of course Ange Postecoglou and whoever else, and this is what he said.
Ange, Mike and the Socceroos, in this World Cup, you have the opportunity to make the world a game.
Mike. You have the opportunity, Mike, to let people know who you are.
Mr. Abbott, it's Mile.
How did he get that wrong? And how did that end up on YouTube?
Imagine someone in his staff's going to be in trouble.
He filmed it. He was standing there with his Socceroos scarf on and filmed it.
That's embarrassing.
Mike. Anyway, Mike played well today.
Let's find out
how well. Chris Corner is our man in Brazil. Good mate of mine. He's over there. He's got another junket somehow. And he was at the game and he joins us from Brazil. G'day, Chrissy. How are you?
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Angela and Glenn there. How are you?
Mate, you get some good gigs, don't you? Tell us about it. How good was it?
Oh, yeah, the perks of being a bachelor in Brazil, mate.
Although it doesn't look like you'll be a bachelor for long. I've seen some of your pics on Facebook. Lots of bikini-clad girls all around you.
Oh, thanks there, Angela. Yes, they've been asking me. Did they buy me a beer with that accent of mine?
Really?
The pecking order.
Is that what's happening? Because we lost, people are feeling sorry for us Aussies and buying us all beers over there?
It is. It's really funny because I was at the Fan Fest, the FIFA Fan Fest, right on the beach, and I tell you what, it was full of Chileans. It was about 90% Chileans, about 10% Australians, but the Aussies made that much noise, as we do when we're overseas. You know, you get to meet a few people, and we've got that Larrick and Isaminas, and, you know, we made you guys proud. We had a chant and stuff like that, and it was a bit disappointing, obviously, on the scoreboard, but I'll tell you what, the Socceroos, you know, with the experience they'll get from these sort of big matches, you're looking at a new breed, a new generation of superstars coming through.
What's the atmosphere actually like? I mean, I saw some frightful vision during the week that, you know, there was strong riots there. There's a lot of people, a lot of the locals didn't want the World Cup there. But what's the general feel in the streets, even, you know, before today's match?
Oh, you'll get that, Glenn. I'll tell you what, most people are really jumped on board the bandwagon, especially after last night's game of Brazil, their home team there. Everyone's happy, you know, people are spending money, they're stimulating the economy, you know, there's a pecking order, it trickles down the food chain. So even, you know, the favela tours, we did a tour of the favelas in Rio a few days ago, and it was just fantastic to see, you know, the middle class and sort of, you could say, the higher class of people going into the favelas and a lot of tourists coming through.
That's the slums, isn't it? Is that the slum area?
Yeah, the shanty towns, but they've been cleaned up as well. And on every corner, just like in South Africa 4 years ago, you've got your military police and your police presence. So, you know, they're having a zero tolerance effect here in most of the cities. And look, we're just happy to be here. And I'll tell you what, the next game for Australia will be an interesting one against Netherlands. Did you watch that game?
Mm. Have you seen any Spanish supporters? Are you keeping them away from sharp objects?
Yes, I am. I have seen a few. They look pretty miserable at the moment.
5-1 they lost, of course, to the Netherlands. So in your assessment, there was 40,000 Aussies, I believe, in Brazil for the World Cup, 15,000 at the game. And what was your assessment of our effort, G-Man?
I tell you what, look, we've had some... The first half, I think that was the inexperience in that first 15, 20 minutes where they scored the goals. The Chileans, what was his name? Dirty Sanchez, they're calling him over here. That was one of them. They're calling him Sanchez, the dirty man. And the other one there, Valdivia, number 10, he scored in the 14th minute. You know, that was just inexperience on the Socceroos part. But, look, there was some standout performances there. As you know, Tim Cahill getting that goal. I mean, his temper after the, you know, being called offside in that second half was just, a bit of short temper there. And Mark Milligan as well with the yellow card.
He was, he was clearly held. That's where he really teed off. You didn't need to be much of a lip reader to understand what he was saying to the referee, but that could have easily been a penalty.
Yeah, and what about Mark Bresciano, number 23? I mean, that was a ripper strike. Unfortunately, the keeper saved it for Chile, but that would have been one of the goals of the year. That went through.
Well, mate, can we keep in touch with you? Have you sung that song, Peter Allen's Rio, much? I go to Rio. You must have been blowing that out a few times, have you?
Yeah, I have, actually. I went to one of the drag queen shows last night, Barry. I was actually having a laugh there. No, you wouldn't even know that they're men in women's clothing.
Really?
No,
it was
the Adam's apple, mate. It's a giveaway.
And the hands, usually.
And the beard.
It's the hands, yeah. No, it's amazing. It's Bubble Butt City here. And
good on you, J-Lo. All right. We've got to leave
it out. I'm doing you proud over here, guys, that's for sure.
No, good on you, mate. It's great to have you over there, and thanks for being our correspondent. We'll keep talking to you every Saturday morning.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks. Yeah. Have a great weekend.
This is a magnificent moment for our show. This is one of our favourite sons, a man who's been on the show many times. He's a mate of ours, and he's about to accomplish something, Mitch, that...
It is unique.
It's unique, isn't it?
Straight out unique.
The only cystic fibrosis sufferer to be a professional sports person, but
in a contact sport anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
At elite level, yep.
And now he's about to go up a level and play for the Wallabies. Nathan Charles joins us on the line. G'day, mate. How are you?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Mate, are you trying to keep a lid on it, or how's your emotions? The historical nature of the whole thing, it's fantastic. We love it.
Yeah, it's obviously been quite an exciting week. But just, the way... We've sort of gone about preparations and training, keeping pretty busy, and I feel ready for the opportunity this weekend. So not too many nerves just yet, but I'm sure once I get out there, plenty.
Nathan, we'll touch on the cystic fibrosis in a moment, but what if someone had said to you last year you'd be playing for the Wallabies when you consider the knee injury you had?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I probably would have just said to them, I've got to get back from my knee first and get back into it. But, luckily enough, we've worked really hard in the pre-season at the Force, and we've been quite successful this year, and it's probably been one of the more enjoyable years of rugby I've had. And just all in all, just a really good headspace, just really happy, loving life, and loving my rugby.
So why have you been able to deal with cystic fibrosis, play at the highest level, and now play for your nation?
Well, I've obviously got a milder case of CF. It affects the lungs and the digestive system, pancreas, and my pancreas actually isn't affected, so I'm not affected when it comes to putting on weight. Obviously, I love food and I eat plenty of it, but I'm affected mostly when it comes to lungs and I guess doing what I do training-wise, and that sort of substitutes the chest physiotherapy that I would have to do alternatively. But just being active and exercising all the time, I has found has aided me a great deal in keeping as healthy as I possibly can.
So Nathan, looking at your training, for example, with the Western Force, do you have to do anything different to the other players, or are you able to take part in every training session from start to finish?
Oh no, definitely take part in every second that I can, bar injuries or whatever. But when it comes to the training, I like to get involved and possibly do even a little bit more, just depending on how I'm feeling. It's something that, obviously I've grown up with, and now I know how I'm feeling and what's best for me. So at times, I might just do even a bit of extra fitness just to get my lungs pumping, and it just give a bit of a blowout, and that tends to make me feel a little bit better.
What sort of feedback have you had in particular from parents that have children with CF? I know that you're an ambassador for cystic fibrosis here in Western Australia, but I would imagine that parents must get an enormous amount of, inspiration from the fact that what you are able to do when they look at their own children?
Yeah, well, I guess the most recent interaction I had with some parents that had a child with CF was when we played the Stormers in Cape Town. Skulk Berger's cousin, Richard, actually is a sufferer, and then met up with his parents after the game, and, you know, some of the words they said was very humbling. You know, they just said, you know, he saw your story and automatically wanted to achieve more, and we just saw a new light in his life and stuff. And, you know, people don't say those things, just throw those words out lightly. So it's something I took close to my heart and found extremely humbling that I could have that effect on someone else's life.
Wow, that's brilliant to hear. And where does it sit for you, mate, playing for Australia? Being a Wallaby, they can never take it away from you. How big an achievement personally is it for you?
Well, you know, when I get on the field, that's when I'll officially become one. So, yeah, you know, until then, you know, I'm still in training, I guess. But it's something I've dreamt of since I was a little kid. And, you know, I've worked very hard to get to this level, and obviously some other people's misfortunes in terms of injuries, you know, has led me to this opportunity. But I guess that's part and parcel of the game, and we've all sort of been through those journeys ourselves. So, like I said, it's a dream come true to finally get the opportunity. And now I want to take it with both hands and not let it go.
And just before we let you go, Nathan, it was a smashing last week up in Brisbane. You absolutely pummeled France. They've made an incredible number of changes for tonight's match.
Yeah, I think they've turned around 10 players in the starting 15. They've brought back players like Thierry Dussatoir, who's the captain. Not only does he bring a great player ability, but also brings with him that leadership that they love so much. And then the players coming in are going to, you know, they've been in the papers all week saying they want to avenge the loss from last week, which is typical French response. And they're going to come out flying. It's going to be a totally different game. It's going to be a very entertaining game. And, I'm thoroughly looking forward to the challenge.
Mate, you're an inspiration. We're very, very proud to know you. And when you hear them say, Vive la France, just gird your loins because they're coming for you. Good on you.
I'm going to be French, I'll say back to them, sir.
Colloquial French. Good on you, mate. You're an inspiration. Well done.
Cheers, thanks.
Time to speak rugby league. The circus was in town last weekend. 20,000 people turned out at NIB Stadium for the Rabbitohs versus Warriors, which must have sent a big message to the bosses in Sydney that we should have a team of our own over here. But let's speak to one of the greats now, Freddie Fidler. Freddie Fidler joins us on the line to talk rugby league and State of Origin. G'day, Freddie. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Did you hear about that 20,000 we had here? Massive crowd, sellout game. Freddie, you were playing, I think, when we had the Western Reds. Can't you get us a team over here, mate?
Mate, it'd be good. It'd be good. It ticks most of the boxes, but I think the one that doesn't tick is obviously the contract with the broadcasters, so I think that once that goes short, I can imagine when the next TV are done, it'll have the involvement of a Western Australian team for sure.
Man, how good would that be? Now, State
of Origin, a great game, wasn't it? Wasn't it a great game?
Absolute belter and injuries and toughness of the Rabbitohs and all the rest. State of Origin 2, well, State of Origin 1 was a great game too. State of Origin 2 is on Wednesday, and of course, this could be when your boys break their drought, their 8-year drought.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been really tough, actually, when you're part of it, to get that shoved down your throat. Literally, your mouth gets open and it just gets rammed down your throat nonstop. So I feel for the players.
You're the most capped New South Wales State of Origin player ever, so you must cop it a fair bit. Are you buying into the Queensland injuries? They're crying, you know, almost crying poor, aren't they? Oh, we're no good, we're injured, you know, we're the underdogs.
I don't care who they play.
But it looks like Billy Slater's been given the green light. He's back in the side for the Maroons.
Yeah, they will all play, I'd say.
Really?
Yeah, they are all high class athletes in our game. So, you know, it's only a game. They don't have to play for a week, so they can stop whinging, put their tape on, take their little needles and get out there and stop whinging.
So you reckon Greg Inglis will be back too?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
Jeez, they're tough, you league blokes. I tell you, Inglis left here, he was in a moon boot, and he's going to be playing.
No, they wear moon boots everywhere now. That's
right. They're new fashion.
Yeah, there we go. It was like the old, a sign of it. good players if their jersey was dirty. Now, if you've had a game, you've got to wear a moon boot.
Now, do the Blues start as favourites in your mind? And if so, how clearly are they favourites?
I don't think it matters. I've never really thought about it that way, but they're at home. There'll be 86,000. So they'd be extremely disappointed if they got beat. I think their training's been good up until now. Still got sort of 4 days. So done a really good job, the coach. They've bought into what he's doing. Going away to Coffs Harbour, it's pretty quiet sort of coastal town, so I think that's really helped with focus.
You said Coffs Harbour. Hasn't it changed the camps since your days? Is basically they drink green tea and play PlayStation, don't they?
And wear moon boots.
There's no drink. It's very quiet.
All around in moon boots. We can't go near carbs. Carbs are bad for us.
No carbs.
No cakes.
You know, it's like everyone's paleoing these days, and we have to look good.
And no alcohol, which, how would
Minimal.
How would you have gone, Freddie, you reckon?
No, not good.
Eating quinoa and drinking green tea.
We used to have so much fun. It was a riot when we were playing because we were sponsored by Chewy's, and the first couple of days were just about, you know, enjoying each other's company and...
Yeah.
Team bonding, isn't it called?
Well, whatever you want to care.
Yeah, did a lot of team bonding.
Oh, that's all I know. It was fun. It's called team fun.
Those were the days. Freddie, we've got to let you go, mate, and thank you very much. But, yeah, so you're tipping the Blues in State of Origin 2.
I'm tipping the Blues, and I will be wearing moon boots on Thursday morning.
Good on you, Freddie.
The Dead Set Legends are looking forward to next weekend. Just like the thousands of kids who play club soccer, help a future soccer star's dreams come true. Shop at IGA and nominate today at iga.com.au.